just change your whole risk profile. Like, what becomes the new thing you're concerned about? Hello and welcome to Terrifying Robot Dog. I'm Jonathan Stark.
And I'm Kelly Shaver.
And we're here to talk about how technology is changing the way we interact with the world at the cellular level. This week, we're talking about bioengineering and immunotherapy. Please stay tuned. Terrifying Robot Dog is next.
Now, let's discuss these topics for which we are woefully uninformed.
The nice part about this is that it'll automatically be easy to understand. If devoid of useful information, it will be understandable. Quick bit of housekeeping / shout out. We got a topic suggestion in from a dear listener, and we're looking forward to answering that on probably the next show, you think?
Yeah, probably so, yeah.
Yeah, we need to do a little looking into it. There's a little research involved, but thank you for the submission, and we'll be getting to that as soon as we can. Today, we're going to talk about an article that I stumbled across but can't find, sadly. It was a really good article. It had all of the you know, heart-wrenching kid story angle. It was very sort of, what I'm trying to say, is very, like, heartwarming.
A human interest piece as opposed to a dump of scientific data.
Yes. And all of the articles that I can't find that article. So, but we just Googled around and found a bunch of other dump of scientific data articles on the same story, just with a different angle. So unfortunately, the human interest one has been lost to the internet. And the reason it's been lost to the internet is because there is a flood of news, very recent news, about this particular announcement. So it's kind of hard to find an article from a couple of weeks ago because there are already hundreds and hundreds of new ones about it.
Yes. And in fact, there's an FDA hearing about it today as we record this podcast.
Yes.
So maybe we can put an update on that in the show notes when we publish it Friday.
Yes. So today is July 12th, 2017. And the FDA is reviewing I guess you'd call it a procedure, although it's kind of a mix between a procedure and a drug. I don't even exactly know how to describe it using conventional terms, but pharmaceutical company Novartis has come up with a way to modify a patient's white blood cells outside of the patient's body and then have them put back into the patient's body in a way that causes them to go attack leukemia cells. And the beginning of the heartwarming story, I'll try and recreate it, at least as I remember
okay.
it. The beginning of the heartwarming story was that it started off with a doctor who had been treating a patient for severe leukemia. Is there a mild leukemia?
there actually are different types of leukemia, and some are a lot more treatable than others.
Oh,
so
okay.
Oddly, yes, there is a mild leukemia. Where mild is relative to.
I got a touch of the leukemia.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far.
Yeah. I'm not trying to joke. I'm trying to keep it a little light because this is heavy.
Yeah.
So anyway, the doctor is like, look, you know, this patient doesn't have time left. I mean, this is it. And they had been, you know, he'd been treating the patient for a long time. And they had tried everything. They were at their wit's end. Patient wasn't responding to any of the treatments. So, you know, they decided together to try this experimental therapy that Novartis had created. It was actually created by a startup a couple of doctors who had this idea. And Novartis basically acquired their idea and them. And they freeze the patient's blood. They send it to Novartis. Novartis modifies the blood in a way that doesn't exist in nature, you know, by default, and sends it back, and they put it in the patient. So then, you know, I don't think it said how long it took for them to then wait and then do a test, but it didn't seem long. So they get the test results back, and the doctor's like, this is the wrong test. You're giving the results from the wrong patient, because the leukemia was not just reduced, it was completely gone.
Like in remission?
No, gone.
Wait, whoa.
I don't know if there's a difference between, I mean, I guess there's always a chance of it recurring, but they were like, this is the wrong patient's data. Do the tests again. Got the tests back. No leukemia cells. Gone.
That's wild. And that's typically results. Well, I don't know. I'm going to get into, you know, I started to say with a lot of stem cell transplants and things like that, you get into some very risky things like graft versus host disease and and rejection and just the transplanted immune system not being able to sufficiently fight the cancer that it seems like a lot of this type of treatment could avoid. But at the same time, from what I was reading from those articles, it does sound like there are some severe side effects and risks to this treatment at this point still.
Yes.
As well.
So let's temper the hallelujah with a really high percentage of patients, like 82%, if I recall correctly, they had the same results, like leukemia gone. A couple of people didn't respond to it or didn't respond as well. And the possibility of recurrence exists, I suppose, the same way anybody could get leukemia again. I don't know if they're higher risk. It's too soon to say, I suppose. But there were also side effects, like you said. So brain swelling, potentially, and really serious life-threatening side effects. But of course, these people are already facing certain death. So it was kind of like, well, might as well try it.
Yeah, you gotta weigh your options at some point. And yeah, I think they said 5 people during their clinical trials died as directly in a result of complications from this treatment, rather than the cancer itself. But again, like you said, you gotta look at the people who were at least participating in these trials were at the stage where this was kind of a last resort for them anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, in which case I think pretty much any sane person would probably jump at that chance. But at this point, it's not something where it's safe to say, okay, this is it's not a first line treatment at this point.
And it costs $350,000 or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Of course, I'm sure there are many, many cancer treatments that cost $350,000.
Yeah, I suppose that's true.
There are immunotherapy drugs that exist currently that are gene modification and that sort of thing, but they're all, it's kind of like it's the same. I think part of the big issue here is that the treatment is going to be tailored to each patient. So that's kind of one of their issues with getting approval and how do they test safely and you know, how do they get their control for their tests when these treatments are tailored specifically to the person and specifically to their cancer, because what they do is they extract the T cells from the patient and then they modify those cells to be more aggressive toward certain proteins that are present in and specific to those particular cancers. So it's a very customized and sort of personal treatment.
Yeah, that's why I was kind of struggling at the beginning to call it is it a drug or a treatment? It's kind of a mixture of both.
Yeah, it's kind of hard. You can't really call it a drug. I mean,
they're putting your own, it's like a drug they made out of your white blood cells in a way, but it's also like a treatment. So
if you wanted to relate it to anything, I'd say it would relate more to like an autologous stem cell transplant, except from what I gather, it's not let's go in and kill off your immune system with chemotherapy and radiation and then completely replace it with either a healthy version of yours or a different one from someone else and hope it works.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, talk about the height of personalization, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, it's customized gene therapy.
And it's one of those, I'm super curious to report back about what happens at the FDA hearing for this, because, you know, and this is like an extreme edge case where you've got, and this, there were some kids involved here too, like that were saved basically. And like at this extreme end of the emotional spectrum, it's a no-brainer to do that. I mean, it's like, yeah, do it, try it, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm not a slippery slope argument kind of guy, but, you know, it's, you know, since we're talking about the future, it's so easy to say, okay, you know, what else can we cure with this? Left-handedness?
Right. If the FDA and various other government entities involved in different countries and what have you start approving customized and highly personalized gene therapy to treat various diseases and things, that's great as long as you're treating diseases. But where do you reach a point where it's like, where do you draw the line? This opens up so many possibilities.
Yeah. And I was talking to our good friend Nate the other day about the sort of unexpected or the emergent properties of self-driving cars. And he was like, alcoholism is going to go up. I'm like, what are you talking about? And he's like, driving drunk is a huge,
deterrent.
Yeah. Deterrent. That's the word. Anti-encouragement is what it's about to say. A huge deterrent to like getting trashed while you're out. You know, like you need a designated driver. But if your car is more like an elevator that just transports you to a place, He's like, it's going to be like a limo. Everybody's going to be in the back partying all the time, you know? And I was like, huh, that's a funny thought. And this, so this kind of reminds me of, you know, what if people are like, okay, no, this is only for going to be for treating diseases. And they said in the study that they're looking for ways to have this, to have this attack. I guess, I think they called it hard cancers where there's an actual tumor.
Mm-hmm.
So what does this do for like smoking? Does this mean smoking all of a sudden is no big deal? Like, let's say you could just go and get a vaccine. It wouldn't be a vaccine, but like a vaccine type of way where you go in, you get a shot when you're a little kid and now you're immune to cancer. You're immune to lung cancer. Isn't smoking fine now?
It's an interesting question, but I think at the same time too, we have to make a distinction here that this is not, it's not a vaccine in the sense that it's something that would be preventative.
Isn't it? I mean, it's not a vaccine. The mechanics are completely different, but couldn't you do it preventively?
Preventatively? I don't know. Maybe you could.
I guess it would be, you know, the risks would have to go way down.
Right. Yeah. The risks would have to go like super low.
Hey, if there's a cancer vaccination, sign me up. Mm. I'll do it. If the cost and risk is low, I'm not going to sign up for it if it's like crazy, you know, unless I had a
right
specific reason and it was
right. If there's an 18% chance of brain swelling and hallucinations, I'm going to skip it
unless I know I need it. So it's
right.
It's a balance. And obviously we're, or at least I'm dramatically oversimplifying it, like looking 50 mm-hmm. years into the future. And being like, but this, again, we're back to the expanse. It's like the cancer meds that Holden's on for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
He just takes a pill.
Like, oh, a new tumor's popped up. Here, take this pill.
Yeah. You know, okay, that's way off in the future. But it's fun to think about how it would change behavior if you could just do that. You know, if you were like, oh, okay, it just changed your whole risk profile. Like, what mm-hmm. becomes the new thing you're concerned about? You know, like, what's the... Man, you take like cancer off the table and geez.
Yeah. I mean, look at how far just in the last 20 years, look at how far AIDS treatment has come.
You know, I don't know how far it's come. I was old enough to be concerned, you know, old enough to be, to keep this kid safe. I was old enough to be worried about that when it was a huge, when it was like on the front page.
Magic Johnson era.
Exactly.
In the 80s.
Right.
Yeah.
I was an adult and... You know, so it's like, okay, guess we're not going to do that. but it was a big, it had a big effect on people's behavior. It really did. I mean, it was like people, you could tell who mm-hmm. was a 70s person and who was an 80s person.
Right.
In terms of, you know, I'm walking a fine line here, but clearly, I mean, it was big news all the time then, and it's not anymore. I imagine that that's because there's been progress, but I don't know that.
Yeah, it's, you should actually maybe look into it to kind of follow up on this. It's not that, you know, I don't think it's so much that the incidence of it has decreased dramatically. I'm sure it has, and I'm sure it has dramatically in many places, but there, for those who have the money to pay for such things, treatment has greatly improved, and many people that have contracted the HIV never get AIDS at this point. And I think there have been a couple of cases where they have managed to like complete cures. I don't think it's like some new crazy just recently came out vaccination that's led to a cure. I think it was just a couple of people that had really, really interesting responses to existing medication that they're trying to figure out sort of thing. So I started down this road and I'm not super informed on it, so maybe I shouldn't have done that, but it's something that's definitely improved over the last couple of decades.
Yeah, I would think. So we should, I think this would be a good thing to add to our AI VR topic mm-hmm. area. I've always been kind of like bioengineering and sort of biotech it feels really other. It feels very different to me than tech.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, know? And probably just due to a lack of familiarity.
Oh, yeah. Like we were watching some videos, you know, prepping for this episode, and it's like, what is this guy talking about?
Yeah. Like, is this how other people feel when I talk about code?
Right. It's like every other word isn't from the English language, and then all the other ones are like, you know, impenetrable acronyms, and so I'm like, okay, let me look that word up. And then I look it up and it's defined by six other words that I also don't know. And
right.
Like, it, you know, like 5 minutes later, I'm like, oh, they're talking about white blood cells. Like,
Yeah.
But they're talking, you know, they're presenting a talk to a group of doctors. You know, I can say white blood cells to doctors. That's not expensive sounding enough. You need a 75-cent word. You need to say lymphocyte or whatever.
Leukocyte, yes.
Leukocyte, lymphomaniac. So, I mean, really, I feel like this episode is kind of like maybe a kickoff of really doing some research into this branch of technology, because it feels like that's where it feels to me like the two places that are happening big time right now are the AI space and biotech.
Like, yeah, and there's going to be some really interesting crossover, I'm sure.
Ugh, I can't even imagine. I can't imagine. It's the expanse. It's the med bay. The intersection of biotech and AI is the med bay on the Rossi. So
you are hooked on those books.
The problem is I'm in withdrawal.
Yeah, exactly. Until December.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have to read the short stories.
Oh, I forgot about those. Oh, you just saved my life. Oh, thank you. I'm seriously in withdrawal.
Yeah.
They are that good. All right. Should we just leave it at that for now and we can do some more research and come up with some more topics in this area?
Yeah, I guess so. Just kind of this is an intro to a thing we're looking into. It's really cool, and we're gonna dive deeper. So
yeah, and it certainly is gonna change the way we interact with the world.
Yeah, or the way the world interacts with us.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I've got bouncer cells. Get out of here, diseases. Go home, disease. You're drunk.
Yeah, nice.
All right, that's our show for this week. I'm Jonathan Stark,
and I'm Kelly Shaver,
and we hope you join us again next week for Terrifying Robot Dog. Bye.
Bye.
Would you like to have Kelly and I in your inbox once a week? Get new episodes delivered straight to you with show notes, links to additional content, and so, so much more. Plus, you can reply to any message to suggest topics for future episodes, or let us know that you don't want to hear about biotech. Whatever. To get the inside track, go to terrifyingrobotdog.com and look for the Keep Me in the Loop button. That website again is terrifyingrobotdog.com.